Hello and welcome. I'm Libby Dodds Ashley. I'm a stewardship pharmacist who's currently based at the Duke Antimicrobial Stewardship Outreach Network in North Carolina, but have worked for a long time with Haney's on their Antimicrobial Stewardship Collaborative, and I'm delighted to be here with you today while we talk about the current status of antibiotic stewardship and benchmark reporting from both the New York State and the national level. With us today, we have two fantastic guests. The first is Dr. Elizabeth Dufour. She's a trained pediatric infectious diseases physician, and she currently serves as the medical director in the Division of Epidemiology at the New York State Department of Health. We also have Dr. Dan Pollack from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. He is a medical epidemiologist and the surveillance branch chief in CDC's Division of Healthcare Quality Promotion. He also is a trained emergency medicine physician where he practiced for many years in the Atlanta area. So we have a great panel today to talk to us about the current status of stewardship. So welcome, Dr. Dufour and Dr. Pollack. Why don't we get started with getting an update on stewardship activities from the standpoint of the New York State Department of Health. Dr. Dufour, do you want to update us?
Yeah, absolutely. So given all of the different realms of antimicrobial stewardship, ranging from the community setting to the hospital setting, the nursing home setting, and then all the way to the other end of the environment and food-producing animals and veterinary animals, given this range of antimicrobial stewardship, we launched in 2016 the New York State Antimicrobial Resistance Prevention and Control Task Force. We really put this task force together to really convene a group of experts to try to come together and provide a roadmap for our current status and moving forward. And we're pleased to announce we have just published online and available in print the New York State Antimicrobial Resistance, the STOP Antimicrobial Resistance Roadmap, or STAR. And the report really produced guidelines and recommendations for us to be able to use as all stakeholders in New York State and to guide our approach to antimicrobial resistance, with a key component, of course, being antimicrobial stewardship and appropriate antimicrobial use. From the state perspective, we want to help coordinate and foster collaboration. People obviously move between facilities and the community, and so do their resistant organisms. So we felt we needed to serve a role to enhance regional collaboration and coordination between facilities, between the community and facilities. And we want to play a role in actively implementing these regional initiatives aimed at antimicrobial stewardship. We want to assist in antimicrobial stewardship in the healthcare spectrum, where we know we have much room for improvement in the hospital and the nursing home. And we also know that we want to educate consumers, patients, and providers in the outpatient setting and support healthcare providers and facilities to optimize appropriate antibiotic use, because we know that providers are juggling many balls at the same time while also having other time constraints and other challenges all ongoing at the same time. We know we've come a long way over the last several years, but we really aim with this roadmap and with our collaborative partners, Haney's, individual healthcare settings and healthcare partners and other partners, that we can really move the needle in antimicrobial stewardship and ultimately in AR. Given the complexity of healthcare in hospitals and nursing homes, we know about the emergence of quote, superbugs, end quote, or extremely drug-resistant organisms. And we know that the stakes are high and we have a long way to go. But we also know that we've made a lot of strides in the last few years, and we certainly have a lot of programs, groups, efforts that we can build on as we move forward.
That sounds great. Do you have any recommendations for our listeners in terms of the best ways to engage with the State Department of Health on these important efforts?
Yeah, sure. We've engaged with community members through our Be Antibiotics Aware work group, and we're always welcoming other interested members to engage with this work group. And we've taken ideas directly from that work group and from our task force and implemented some programs based on that feedback. One piece of feedback we heard from healthcare prescribers was that they really felt that there were many guidelines out there for outpatient antibiotic prescribing, but they were lengthy, they were dense, they were hard to implement in a busy, rapid, you know, turnaround kind of a setting in the outpatient setting. And so we heard that feedback and we created concise, consolidated antibiotic guidelines for both adult and pediatric for common outpatient conditions. We did this in a pocket card available either on download on our webpage, or you can go to our webpage and order them to be shipped for free to your practice for prescribers to use. And we were interested to see that the feedback from prescribers and from facilities or organizations handing them out to their prescribers, the feedback was really much more enthusiastic than we expected. We've been asked over and over again to ship more. We've already shipped over 11,000 statewide. We have a whole list in the queue. And one provider just asked us to ship this to every prescriber in New York State. So we really had quite an enthusiastic response. We also looked in the literature to see what was evidence-based, what works. And a couple things that we found based on literature and the published evidence-based literature or from experts in the field who publish this literature is that specific feedback to prescribers can really improve prescribing. So moving forward, we will work more on projects aiming to assist facilities or organizations in giving their prescribers specific feedback on their own prescribing as compared to their peers for specific diagnoses, only given to them personally, just for their own awareness. And this can improve prescribing, and we aim to work on that further moving forward. And other evidence-based published literature showed that even a simple poster in the waiting room, setting the expectation about antibiotic prescribing and making folks aware, patients aware, and their families of the risks of inappropriate antibiotic prescribing can really have an impact. And those are just a couple examples of things that we've tried to do from feedback from providers in the community.
Thank you so much for that. It sounds like there are really comprehensive efforts that are ongoing in New York State across the full continuum of care. Dr. Pollack, do you want to update us on benchmarking opportunities with antibiotic use data that are currently happening at the federal level?
Sure, I'd be glad to. CDC's National Healthcare Safety Network, NHSN, is a surveillance system in which we introduced in 2014 an AU option, an antimicrobial use option for reporting antimicrobial use using electronic medication administration and barcode medication administration record systems as the data source. So there's no manual data entry, and data are delivered to CDC's NHSN, the AU option. We now have over 1,000 hospitals that have reported AU data. We developed our first benchmark statistics, which we call our standardized antimicrobial administration ratios, in 2014. They were introduced into NHSN, and now we've just recently updated those metrics, and we go live with a new version of NHSN in a week, at which point in time there will be the second iteration of the standardized antimicrobial administration ratio summary statistics, which is an observed to expected ratio available for all the hospitals that are participating in the AU option. So these summary statistics provide guidance for stewardship programs in their efforts to increase the more appropriate use of antibiotics. We're pleased to move forward with adult and pediatric versions with the NHSN launch later this month. And next year, our plans are to develop neonatal SARS, and we're currently working with neonatal AU specialists to develop those counterpart SARS summary statistics for the neonatal patient population.
Wow, that's a lot of expansion to a system that I know many of the listeners will find important. There's a large group listening in who are members of the Haney's Antibiotic Stewardship Collaborative. And part of the work of that group has actually been to try to move the needle on obtaining direct MAR-based antibiotic administration data from our members in order to have some comparative data. Could you just spend a minute and really highlight the important differences and really what it means to have risk-adjusted data? Because I know that's a question we often get from our centers who are already pulling down days of therapy per 1,000 days present for sometimes a limited set of drugs. But really talk to them about what risk adjustment means and what types of factors you're using, both in the original models and the new ones that are coming out in 2019.
Certainly. So it's very important to take into account differences in patient populations. When we talk about antimicrobial use, of course, there will be variation on the basis of the types of conditions, ages that patients present with. So CRUD rates are a valuable metric for some purposes, but AU summary measures that are risk adjusted for differences in patient and healthcare service characteristics are a methodologically sounder way to compare AU data within and across facilities. So we worked with antimicrobial stewardship programs in health systems to develop the initial set of SAR values and SAR models in 2014. And each of the models takes into account patient care location and healthcare facility characteristics that are available to NHSN. Now, we've updated the SAR models most recently using additional data that are available from NHSN. As we had more reporting and more information and data to work with, we were able to update the models and actually develop some additional models for use in various patient care locations that weren't covered during the first set of models. So as more facilities participate in AU reporting, and as we continue our collaboration with stewardship programs, we're able to enhance the predictive models, add value to the summary statistics. CRUD rates have a place in medication use evaluation, but we think it's very important to focus on risk-adjusted measures to compare across facilities and within facilities over time.
That's great. Thank you. I know many of our members have expressed frustrations of trying to use the data that come out of the CRUD rate reports because they get pushback from providers that maybe patient populations are different. So it's great that there's a mechanism out there for us to help address this on a much larger scale. And also, I think it's important to point out for the Haney's members and listening in that there's also a much broader data set. It's a much bigger sample size when you include the whole country, obviously, than just the New York State groups participating. Dr. Dufour, what are plans at the state level, if any, or how do you find that such data on antibiotic use metrics might be helpful to you in your efforts?
Yeah, just to touch on facility-based antibiotic use assessments, as has been discussed with the NHSN AU module, we really aim to be able to support facilities in coming on with that module, knowing that many facilities that are on board find it to be useful, but there's an initial upfront challenge in getting on board. So we really aim to collaborate with facilities and assist and provide assistance and support in coming on board. And for some nursing homes or long-term care facilities, some other settings where it just may not be feasible right now, we also have been happy to work with folks to do some antibiotic use measurements to guide interventions at their local site. And so what we call our CLASP program is a good example of that. That's our collaboration to launch antimicrobial stewardship programs in nursing homes in New York State. We started a couple of years ago assisting nursing homes in looking at data to assist in really targeting the UTI diagnosis. We used the 7 core elements of antibiotic stewardship programs for nursing homes and really assisted facilities in picking a couple elements and a key issue that was an issue in their facility, and then assisted in data collection by literally providing data collection tools and assistance in analyzing that data. And we really had some great feedback. We had over 115 nursing homes in New York State participate. That's almost 20% of New York State nursing homes. And we really were able to provide expert webinars and support and assistance for these nursing homes. We are actually just launched the next phase of this project. Moving forward, we'll be shifting the focus slightly to allow for continued improvements. And over this influenza season, we'll be looking at respiratory illness. And actually, our call for participation just went out to New York State nursing homes a few days ago. And so we will be looking for folks who are interested in participating, where we can help support them on their way to really analyzing antibiotic use data and then using that data to inform where they need to target interventions and to show when they've had success. They can sign up they can get in touch with any of us at the New York State Department of Health. And Haney's also, of course, through their collaborative and their contacts, will have our information on that. It also went out via an advisory to all nursing homes on November 27th.
Oh, that's great to be expanding horizons. And I know that at least for the facilities I've been able to work with that have successfully now reported to AU through the Haney's work for their acute care facilities, I know we were able to piggyback because their infection preventionists were already reporting data into NHSN for other metrics. Dr. Pollack, are there any opportunities current or on the horizon for nursing homes to report either their infection-related or their antibiotic use data into NHSN?
Thank you for the great question. Right now, our antimicrobial use option is just available to hospitals, but we have been discussing with the nursing homes and the nursing home industry leaders the possibility of developing an AU option for nursing homes. Clearly, we would want to use electronic data sources in the nursing home environment as well. And so one of the rate-limiting factors is the availability of actual antimicrobial administration data in electronic form in nursing home environments. Our preference would be to move in that direction, even if it means that we're not going to pick up as many nursing homes and as we have over a period of time as we have with hospitals. Still, we want to go forward. We think we've got a good approach in using the bedside administration data, and we are beginning to explore that as an option with some of the electronic health record system vendors who are working in the nursing home space.
Great. Thank you. You know, I think one thing I've really been impressed upon from both of you is how much work has happened just, you know, in a short time since really we all got refocused on efforts around antibiotic resistance. Not that we ever weren't focused on them, but there's certainly been more emphasis in the last 5 years or so. You've both described many examples of things that are going really well. I guess what I would ask you to do is help us help you. So where are areas where you feel that we could do better or that we could improve more? Let's start with you, Dr. Dufour, from the New York State perspective.
Yeah, absolutely. I think there have been a lot of great programs from all different sectors and a lot of advancement over the last few years, particularly in antimicrobial stewardship. But I think many of us recognize that we have further work to do. And there are some areas kind of considered the next frontier in antimicrobial stewardship in the outpatient realm. Many folks think it might be the urgent care setting. The urgent care setting may have a different set of regulations, a different business model, and a different set of challenges. Recent studies have shown that there is significant concern with antimicrobial prescribing in that setting. We aim to work with our partners in the urgent care setting to provide tools and assist folks in improving antimicrobial use. We hear from them that they want help with the consumer expectations. And so we have worked on videos for waiting rooms, and we have this all available on our webpage. We have worked on GIFs or GIFs that can be implemented in social media from urgent care associations or organizations or practices or private practitioners, which educate consumers. We aim to do a further statewide media campaign in the future. That's one area where we feel we need to do more. Additionally, when we look at our data, we've analyzed Medicaid outpatient data in New York State, and we see that in the pediatric realm, after much work from the American Academy of Pediatrics, individual pediatricians, and the New York State Department of Health worked quite a bit on this in the past, that with much effort with education to providers, education to the patients and their families, there were significant gains made and improvements made in antimicrobial prescribing in the outpatient setting in the pediatric realm. And when we analyze our data today, we see that the adult realm has significant significantly more improvements to be made. Of course, we can always improve in the pediatric realm as well. So we really aim to focus more on building on those gains in pediatrics and also advancing more in the adult outpatient realm. And finally, as we've mentioned, the long-term care facility realm is really uncharted territories in many ways of it in regards to antimicrobial stewardship. And we really aim to support antimicrobial stewardship in nursing homes. The CLASP program is one that we have worked on that is already mentioned. And we have efforts moving forward to work with nursing home associations, HANES, and other individual nursing homes to really find out what the challenges are and find out ways that we can assist them. And that includes through our New York State Antimicrobial Resistance Task Force.
Great, thank you. What about you, Dr. Pollack? What ways can we help you to help improve our antibiotic use metrics and really moving the needle forward for prevention of more resistance and better patient care?
Yes, thanks, Libby. I would say it's very important for CDC to work collaboratively with antimicrobial stewardship programs throughout the United States, as we have done to date, in efforts to improve and use our summary statistics to drive changes in antimicrobial use practice that reduce the amount of indiscriminate antibiotic use that is so wide in the U.S. right now. We have worked very closely with ASPs, with clinical pharmacists, infectious disease physicians, and others involved in ASP efforts to develop our antimicrobial use summary metric categories, which really target stewardship categories and therefore provide metrics that can be used to drive changes in prescribing for those drug categories. We want to continue to increase participation in our AU reporting and in our use of AU data. We have over 1,000 hospitals that are submitting AU data to NHSN right now, but that means that there are many more to be added to AU reporting. All of those hospitals that are participating are doing so voluntarily, which I think is an indication of the importance that hospitals are placing on antimicrobial use benchmarks and antimicrobial stewardship efforts. We want to continue to work with state health departments, New York's and others, to integrate efforts across HAI, healthcare-associated infection, antimicrobial resistance, and antimicrobial stewardship programs. They're really all part. They're large pieces of a very important puzzle, and we need to work together on all dimensions and all aspects. So there's plenty more to be done. There's more to be learned. There's more for us to improve upon what we've already accomplished. We don't want to stand where we are. We want to keep moving. And as I said earlier, we are intending to add neonatal locations to our AU summary metrics in 2020. And we've worked very closely with the Vermont-Oxford Network, a consortium of neonatal professionals and NICUs, to develop our neonatal metrics that we're going to be introducing into NHSN in 2020.
That's all great. I really want to thank both of you for taking some time to share your expertise and give the listeners insights on important new initiatives that are coming down the pipeline, a recap of the important work that's already done, and remind everyone of all the resources that are available to us. I want to remind all the participants in the HANE Stewardship Collaborative that there are additional resources available to you. There's support for trying to get your data into the AU module. HANES is working with the CDC on many of their efforts. You can also look for information about stewardship initiatives, as well as some of the data about the HANES antibiotic use reports on the HANES website, which is hanys.org. That's also where you can find the other episodes in this podcast series, which include a review of antibiotic resistance, activities that are going on with the New York State Department of Health in collaboration with the CDC, as well as a specific podcast episode focusing more on stewardship interventions in long-term care facilities. Through the Stewardship Collaborative, there's also the opportunity with direct consultation with stewardship experts in various areas, including acute care and long-term care facilities that members can easily partake of by simply reaching out to the Haney's team. And we hope you will do that. We're excited to see how many facilities have been able to report to AU through the work of the collaborative to get them over the initial data acquisition hurdles and to go forward and be able to put their data in and now use it in a positive effort to drive their stewardship activities. So with that, we're going to thank everyone for listening and especially thank Drs. Dufour and Pollack for their time and expertise.